When I was a kid, I remember a lot of obsession with the end times, growing up in the 80s and the 90s. This was evident not only in the rise and fall of various cults, such as the Branch Davidians in Waco, Om Shinrikyo in Heaven's Gate, but also in popular culture. Disaster movies were big at the box office. Outbreak, Independence Day, Armageddon, Deep Impact, and a couple about volcanoes, I think. I can't quite remember. That was 30 years ago. There was a fear. I remember there was this widespread fear of the Y2K computer bug. And I don't know if any of you saw the bad made-for-TV movie that was airing in 1999, but it showed planes crashing, nuclear power plants melting down, and all kinds of bad things happening, which I recently learned, though, that worst was avoided because of effective intervention. So, in the 90s, the Left Behind series of novels were a big hit. They depicted the world in stark black and white, good and evil terms. You were either on the right side or you were on the wrong side. You were either with God or you were with the Antichrist, one or the other. And then there were the 9/11 terrorist attacks, which some evangelical voices depicted as the beginning of the definitive end times battle between good and evil. And I even remember, not long after those attacks, President Bush added some fuel to this, warning other nations of the world, you are either with us or you are with the terrorists. The result, though, wasn't a mass spiritual revival. There wasn't an increase in altruism with this end times kind of thinking in the culture. More people actually left faith communities. The non-religiously affiliated rose during the 90s and the 2000s. Fewer people identified as Christian. Pew Research polled that 78% of the American population identified as Christian in 2007, 64% in 2024. Times made for a lot of fear and suspicion, which was pushed into overdrive by COVID and has brought us to our present day. In 2020, around 20.6 million firearms were sold in the United States, which might, I'm guessing, have something to do with people being afraid of their neighbors. We're on track in 2025 for about 3/4 of that record-setting number, a mere 15 million firearms sold in the United States. And acts of mass violence seem to make the news every week or so. Our culture seems to be caught between glorifying violence on the one hand and cowering from our neighbors and cowering from community on the other. But it's not the first time that end times obsession powered by fear led to a weakening of community. That very thing happened at the church at Thessalonica, as in many first century churches. The community was swept up in end times speculation. And it's not surprising. A lot of things were going on, a lot of good and exciting things. Jesus rose from the grave, and he sent his Holy Spirit, which transformed once frightened, cowering people into bold preachers, proclaimers of truth. The community they formed wasn't like every other apocalyptic cult out there, and there were a lot of them, which would often fall apart as soon as the leader was gone. In fact, this community grew and spawned off new communities centered around Jesus Christ. Central message of this community, that Jesus is Lord, spread throughout the Mediterranean to all kinds of people with all kinds of customs and belief systems. And as the church grew, though, political strife grew in Palestine, in Jerusalem in particular. War broke out, and the temple, along with Jerusalem, was destroyed in 70 AD. And with the prophesied destruction, which we heard in our gospel reading today, many Christians expected Jesus to return imminently. But this led to some problems in the community. After all, if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, who cares about the world today? That was how the logic went. Why work for a better world? Why plan for the future? Why should people even work for their living or worry about family responsibilities? Why be a good neighbor if Jesus is going to come back tomorrow and fix everything? But if folks don't care for their neighbors, we know that community has a hard time surviving. And that's Paul's concerns for the Thessalonians and Jesus' concern for his church. In Thessalonica, some of the people have gotten so wrapped up in end times thinking that they have forgotten the needs of their neighbors. Paul addressed this back in chapter 2. We heard it last week, but he gets to the practical implications here. Thinking the time is short, some people are not being good neighbors. They're living irresponsibly. Fill the time, they seem to be meddling in everyone else's business. The term is usually translated busybody or meddler, but I like the term I learned in Indiana, nib-nose. They're being nib-noses. Or if you're being especially obnoxious, nose would be replaced by another four-letter word, which I can't repeat because we're in church. They've gotten so stuck on themselves that they can't see their neighbor's need. Certainly a constant temptation. In our gospel, Jesus points to some other temptations. It's tempting. It can be tempting to follow the first two-bit prophet or politician who claims to be sent by God. Jesus says, many will come in my name, saying, I am he. It's also tempting to be terrified by current events, to cower in fear. Jesus says, when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. While today we may not be as motivated by end times thinking, at least now, the behaviors are with us in every generation. Meddling in other people's stuff, following the wrong people, or paralyzing fear. And in contrast, Jesus gives us a better way, a way in which we don't live paralyzed by dread or fear. We don't trust institutions to save us, not the nation and not the church, but we trust Jesus Christ alone. We don't trust prophets and politicians to lead us into the promised land. We trust Jesus Christ alone. We don't trust in our own goodness, resources, intellect, or family lineage. We trust in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus alone makes room for forgiveness where there is only bitterness, room for love where there is only hate, room for life where there is only death. We are not dictated by our fears, but we're moved by Jesus' love for us and for the whole world. That is a love that calls the most unlikely people to follow him, a group of fishermen, a tax collector, a love that is inclusive rather than exclusive of other people, that includes women and children especially, a love that heals the servant of a Roman soldier, a soldier, by the way, who is the occupier and the oppressor in the land. It's a love that receives a notorious tax collector back into community, Zacchaeus, and welcomes a thief as he dies on the cross. Jesus is going to return someday in fullness and in glory, and that is a cause for joy, not fear. Jesus is going to return someday, and that is a cause for caring for all the earth, for being a good neighbor. And Jesus isn't just going to return someday. Jesus returns every single Sunday, every time we gather around his word and his table. Jesus is here now. And when we receive him in word and sacrament, we receive his perfect love that casts out all fear. And when we know that, we can tell others what Jesus has done in our lives. He tells us that we'll have opportunities for that, which are unfortunately often spurred by suffering. But there will be opportunities for talking about what Jesus has done for us. And all of you, I am sure of it, all of you have stories of faith. All of you have stories of how Jesus, what Jesus has done in your life. You may not be able to quite articulate it the way you want to, but all of you have a story. It's the story of your life. It's the story of your life, and the story of Jesus' involvement in it is your faith story. And those stories point to a counter narrative than the one pushed on us, the one of fear, the one of hate, the one of division. Instead of cowering in fear, we're given the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We're filled with his love, and we're sent out for his service. Let's continue to live out these stories, because they point to the one in whom we put all our trust, Jesus Christ. Amen.